What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Jobs gains power through the Omicron surge, what that means for the Federal Reserve. And the Winter Olympics begin in Beijing, and athletes are under even more pressure than usual.
This is probably the tensest Olympics in their lifetimes. Many athletes are declining to answer questions about China's human rights record. Some of them fear repercussions from sponsors or from the public. And of course, they're all very worried about COVID.
Plus, why some people are going to the ER after playing VR. It's Friday, February 4th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. The Labor Department says U.S. employers added 467,000 jobs to the economy in January, pointing to swift hiring despite the Omicron surge. The unemployment rate was up slightly to 4% as more people entered the workforce. The department also revised estimates for November and December upward. Combined, that means about 700,000 more jobs than previously reported for those months. Speaking in Washington this morning, President Biden said the nation has made historic economic progress.
I know that January was a very hard month for many Americans. I know that after almost 2 years, the physical and emotional weight of the pandemic has been incredibly difficult to bear for so many people. But here's the good news. We have the tools to save lives and to keep businesses open and keep schools open, keep workers on the job, and sustain this historic economic comeback.
Our labor economics reporter, Sarah Cheney Cambon, says the report surprised some economists who had predicted weaker jobs growth due to disruptions caused by Omicron.
The jobs report tells us that the recovery is a bit stronger than we thought it was. We thought that job growth was slowing at the end of 2021. Turns out that jobs were booming then, and even during a month where we thought that the coronavirus would dent the labor market, it really didn't. The job market powered through. Employers continued to hire because demand for goods and services is still really strong. And so it definitely just puts us on a positive path for 2022.
Sarah says the report is also likely to keep the Federal Reserve on track. The central bank has signaled it's likely to raise interest rates in mid-March to cool down inflation. Shares of Amazon surged 13.5% after the e-commerce giant said on Thursday that it nearly doubled its profit last quarter. In fact, the company broke the record for the largest ever one-day gain in market value for a U.S. company, adding more than $191 billion. That comes just a day after Facebook parent Meta had the largest ever loss. In the broader market, stocks mostly rose after the release of the jobs report, and the Nasdaq and the S&P 500 were both boosted by the jump in Amazon shares. The Nasdaq added 1.6% and the S&P gained 0.5%. The Dow ultimately ended the day down less than 0.1%, but all three indexes ended the week with gains. News Corp said it was the target of a hack that accessed emails and documents of journalists and other employees. The attack affected publications and business units, including the Wall Street Journal and its parent Dow Jones, the New York Post, the company's UK news operation, and News Corp headquarters, according to an email the company sent to staff. News Corp's cybersecurity consultant said the hack was likely meant to gather intelligence to benefit China's interests. Representatives for the Chinese embassy in Washington didn't respond to requests for comment. Kohl's rejected a $9 billion takeover bid by an activist group for being too low, but said it would review other offers. The department store chain also adopted a shareholder rights plan, also known as a poison pill, that makes it difficult for an activist group to acquire more than 10% of the company. Kohl's said the plan will be in effect for a year and will allow its board to review potential offers. The retailer has repeatedly been the target of activists in the past year, despite efforts to boost performance. And a Manhattan jury found disgraced celebrity lawyer Michael Avenatti guilty of wire fraud and aggravated identity theft. That includes stealing nearly $300,000 from his former client, the adult film actress Stormy Daniels. Avenatti had represented Daniels in her legal battles against former President Donald Trump. Avenatti expressed disappointment in the verdict and indicated he plans to appeal. Coming up, one of the most unusual Olympic Games ever begins in China.
Join the Wall Street Journal at the Future of Everything Festival on May 21st to 23rd in New York City, where diverse global newsmakers share unique perspectives on navigating a changing world. Immerse yourself in live performances, explore pioneering technologies, and indulge in the city's inventive culinary scene. As a podcast listener, enjoy 20% off current ticket rates with code PODCAST. Visit wsj.com/FOEF podcast to secure your spot.
The Winter Olympics officially began this morning with what appeared to be a defiant jab from Beijing at its critics. During the opening ceremony, China chose a cross-country skier from the northwest region of Xinjiang as one of two athletes to light the Olympic flame. Some observers consider that to be a pointed message for the U.S. and others who have accused China of human rights abuses against the Muslim minority Uyghurs in Xinjiang, accusations China has consistently rejected. These games are taking place amid a host of geopolitical issues, including diplomatic boycotts and not to mention a global pandemic and tight COVID-19 restrictions. All of that is making the games one of the most complex ever for athletes. Joining me now is Wall Street Journal senior sports reporter Rachel Bachman. Hi, Rachel. Thanks so much for being here.
Great to be here, Anna-Marie.
So, Rachel, let's start with the pandemic. This is not the first Olympic Games to be held during the pandemic, but it's still a challenging feat to pull off. Tell us how China has prepared for this.
Well, China is basically extending its zero COVID philosophy, which is trying to snuff out any possible infection or certainly any spread. And the way it's done that is to require everyone at the Games to either be vaccinated or to have a 21-day quarantine in China. So this is just one of many, many precautions. Probably the biggest one is China is establishing a closed-loop system. So anyone at the Olympics has to stay within those bounds, mainly Olympic venues and hotels.
So what does that mean, Rachel, for those like yourself who will be covering the event?
We'll be inside that loop as well. Journalists also must stay within that closed loop, and our movements will be limited essentially to our hotel, Olympic venues, and designated Olympic transport.
So let's talk about some of the other challenges to putting on these games besides the pandemic. This is also taking place during a heightened time of geopolitical tensions. How is that impacting the Olympics?
Well, probably the most public way it's impacting the Olympics is several Western countries led by the U.S. are carrying out what they call a diplomatic boycott. And what this means is that it's not sending any high-ranking officials to the games. And this is a deviation from past Olympics where it's pretty common, for instance, the U.S. to send the first lady or someone else fairly well known to observe at the games.
And the reason for that diplomatic boycott from the U.S. and others, the U.S. has cited China's suppression of the Uyghurs, a Muslim minority group, and other human rights abuses. How is China responding to that? And what impact is a diplomatic boycott likely to have on these games?
Well, China has forcefully denied the allegations made by countries, including the U.S., that what is done with Uyghur Muslims essentially amounts to genocide. And in terms of the impact of the diplomatic boycott on the games, China has been insistent in, for instance, state-backed media that it has many world leaders coming to the games and that the U.S. and its allies will not detract from what it anticipates will be a very successful and popular games.
These have been a lot of big issues we've been talking about. How is all of this affecting the athletes who, in addition to all these things, have to worry about performing at the top of their game here?
Oh, boy. Athletes. This is probably the tensest Olympics in their lifetimes. Many athletes are declining to answer questions about China's human rights record. Some of them fear repercussions from sponsors or from the public. And of course, they're all very worried about COVID. You know, one positive test could knock them out of a competition they've trained for their entire lives. Just in the past couple of days, U.S. bobsled star Elena Myers Taylor announced on Instagram that she'd tested positive for COVID and was isolating in Beijing. There's a good chance she'll be able to recover before her event, which starts February 13th. But there certainly are no guarantees, and there are many concerns on the part of athletes that the fairly strict and rigorous Chinese testing approach could keep them out of practice and even their competitions.
There's a lot riding on these games, right? How are observers looking at this?
Certainly, carrying out an Olympic Games during a pandemic is incredibly complex and difficult. And China, if it's able to do so, will certainly trumpet that as a success. Of course, 6 months ago in Tokyo, that city carried out an Olympic Games during a pandemic. We're kind of in a different situation now, though, because of the Omicron variant wave. There are many breakthrough infections. So even vaccination does not save people from infection. The nice thing about the Olympics is once the events start, it really is an amazing event. And pretty much every hour of every day at the Olympics, it's someone's biggest moment of their lives. A few athletes that are going to be facing those big moments, alpine skier Michaela Schifrin, who is attempting 5 events, quite an ambitious schedule. And of course, the returning halfpipe champions in snowboard, Chloe Kim and Shaun White, both Americans. And there are many, many other athletes who I'm sure people will become familiar with watching from the U.S. on NBC.
Wall Street Journal senior sports reporter Rachel Bachman. Rachel, thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks so much for having me.
And we'll have continuing coverage of the games at WSJ.com. And finally, in gaming news of a different sort, virtual reality has had a moment during the pandemic. Sales of VR headsets rose more than 70% last year from 2020, according to International Data Corp. But with more people jumping, punching, and swinging their arms in virtual sword fights or tennis matches, that's also meant more injuries. Social media has been flooded with videos of gamers wearing VR headsets, losing their balance, or diving headfirst into furniture. Our social media reporter, Salvador Rodriguez, says some people are even ending up in the emergency room.
If you don't take the proper precautions, you can get hurt because you're teleported to a virtual world and you're doing stuff over there. But in reality, you're just in your room walking around blindfold. And, you know, a headset might cost you $300, but if you really hurt yourself from one of these, you know, crashes playing VR, like how much does that actually add up with, you know, doctor's bills and everything?
So what's a gamer to do? Salvador says few people are giving up on their favorite VR activities and instead clearing out a wider space for gaming or even lining their living rooms with pillows. And that's what's news for this week. Our hosts are me, Anne-Marie Fertoli, and Luke Vargas. The show was produced by Trine Noree and Kate Bullivant, with help from Mohsen Ali, Anthony Bansi, Julie Chang, Zoe Thomas, and J.R. Whalen, and editorial support from Kateri Yoakum, Sandra Kilhoff, and Chris Sinsley. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. We'll be back on Monday morning. Thanks for listening.